So I was looking at the stack for today's deep dive, and honestly, it feels a bit like we're trying to mix oil and water here.
Oh, yeah. How so?
Well, on one side, we have Packet Stream, which is this really hardcore back-end infrastructure company. They deal in residential proxies, tunneling,
The
scraping.
real plumbing of the internet stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, we have Auto Content API, which is this creative automation engine for making, podcasts and videos.
It does seem like a strange pairing at first glance. I mean, usually when we talk about content automation, we're thinking about like lifestyle brands or e-commerce companies trying to go viral.
Right.
We rarely talk about how deep tech infrastructure companies can actually use it.
Right. My assumption is always that if your tech is good enough, you don't really need content. If you're Packet Stream and you have the best residential proxy network, won't developers just find you? Why do you need to turn your documentation into TikToks?
Ah, but that is the classic engineer's fallacy.
The build it and they will come idea.
Exactly that. The reality of the modern web is just saturation. Even in super technical fields, PacketStream might have the best documentation on GitHub, but if a developer doesn't even know they exist,
Or doesn't get why they need a residential IP versus a data center one.
then that documentation might as well be locked in a safe. It's
Yeah.
useless.
So the premise today isn't just how to make content. It's about solving a distribution bottleneck for a really technical product.
Precisely. We are looking at how PacketStream can take their existing assets, which are dense, code-heavy, and let's be honest, pretty static, and use Auto Content API to sort of liquefy this.
Liquefy. I like that image.
To make that information flow into places where developers actually spend their time, which, spoiler alert, isn't always reading generic documentation
Okay,
pages.
liquefy. I'm with you.
Yeah.
But before we get into the how, let's establish the what. We really need to understand PacketStream's business model because it's actually two distinct businesses in one, isn't it?
It is. It's a two-sided marketplace. On the supply side, you
Right.
have the packeters. These are just regular people like you or me who install the PacketStream app on their computer. They share their unused internet bandwidth and get paid for it.
So it's basically the Airbnb of IP addresses. You're renting out your digital spare room.
That is a perfect analogy. You are renting out your residential IP, and that one word, residential, is absolutely crucial.
And that brings us to the other side of the marketplace.
Right, the demand side, our customers. These are businesses who need to route their traffic through these residential IPs so they can look like normal users.
Why does that matter, though? Why can't they just route traffic through, say, an Amazon AWS server?
It's all about trust.
Yeah.
If you are scraping pricing data from Amazon or verifying ad placements on Google, those platforms know what an AWS server IP address looks like. They can spot it a mile away,
And they block it immediately.
instantly. But a request coming from a residential IP in, I don't know, Ohio, that just
What?
looks like a human. It gets through.
Okay, so the product is Access. And looking at their site, they have a ton of resources on how to use this. I'm seeing guides on like ethically scaling AI data collection, web scraping with Python, integration guides for Node.js.
Right. And this is where the friction really starts.
Yeah.
That content is incredibly high value, but it has very low mental availability.
Mental availability. What do you mean? Like it's just hard to read.
I mean, it requires a specific mode of attention. To get value from a Python web scraping guide, you have to be sitting at your desk, IDE open, fully focused.
Right.
You cannot consume that content while you are commuting or washing dishes or working out.
So the knowledge is trapped in the text.
Precisely. And this is the first place where Auto Content API completely changes the game. We aren't just talking about generating new ideas, we are talking about format shifting.
This is that notebook LM angle,
Yeah.
right? Where you can feed it a source and it spits out an audio discussion.
Yeah.
But let me black devil's advocate here.
Go for it.
Does a serious data engineer actually want to listen to two AI agents discuss proxy rotation while they drive to work? It feels a little gimmicky.
I would argue it's the complete opposite of a gimmick. It's all about efficiency. I mean, think about podcasts like Data Engineering Daily or shows like that. Developers love them
Sure.
because they can keep up with trends without having to stare at a screen all day.
Yeah, but those are usually high-level news roundups. Can you really do that with technical documentation? With code?
You can if the synthesis is good. See, Auto Content API markets itself as a notebook LM API alternative, but it's built specifically for business workflows. So PacketStream could set up an automation.
Like with Zapier or Make.com.
Exactly. Every time they publish a new technical blog post, say, about using sticky sessions to avoid CAPTCHAs, the API takes that text, it parses the logic, even the code logic, and generates a 10-minute audio deep dive on it.
So instead of me reading the code, I'm listening to a breakdown of why the code works the way it does.
Correct. The hosts, the AI agents, they might discuss the strategy. You know, hey, if you use a rotating proxy here, you're just going to break the session login. You need a sticky IP for this. That's strategic knowledge.
And a developer listening to that on their Tuesday morning commute arrives at work with a solution they didn't have before.
And PacketStream didn't have to hire a podcast producer, book a studio, or pay a host.
The marginal cost is basically zero.
Effectively zero. And the quality of the voices based on the API specs is natural, steady, and believable. That part is critical. If it sounds like a GPS navigation voice reading code, it fails completely.
Of course.
But if it sounds like two colleagues just chatting, you start to build what we call asynchronous
A
trust.
asynchronous trust. Okay, break that down.
It means building a relationship with your customer when you aren't physically there. PacketStream becomes this voice in their ear, a helpful guide, not just another vendor you pay $50 a month to.
And in a market like proxies, which is kind of a commodity.
Brand affinity is the only real moat you have.
Okay, I can see the audio angle for existing customers, the hardcore engineers,
Yeah.
but what about the top of the funnel, the people who have no idea how any of this works? The source material mentioned video pretty heavily.
Yeah, and this is where the opportunity for PacketStream is maybe even bigger. Video is the language of the modern web, but for a back-end company, video is a total nightmare.
What are you going to film? A server rack? A scrolling terminal window?
Exactly. Nobody watches that, so they usually just don't do video. But Auto Content API has this explainer video engine. It can crawl a URL like PacketStream's reseller API landing page and just generate a 60-second
With
video.
an AI avatar and subtitles and everything.
Yeah, all of it.
Okay, but hold on. AI avatars, we've all seen the bad ones. The lips don't match, the eyes are dead. Is this actually usable for a professional brand?
The tech has moved so fast. We are not in the uncanny valley of 2022 anymore. The API offers professional or casual avatars that are, frankly, good enough to convey information without being a distraction. But here's the key. Don't think of it as a Super Bowl commercial. Think about it as a support asset.
A support asset.
Yeah. Look at PacketStream's GitHub. They have integration examples for Go, Java, PHP, Python, Bash. I guarantee you their support email help at packetstream.io is just flooded with the same five questions for every single language.
How do I authenticate in Java? Where do I put the proxy port in Node?
Exactly. So you're saying they could use the API to just churn out a tutorial for every single one of those.
Is that what you mean?
That's precisely what I mean. You don't need a film crew. You use the API to generate a specific 45-second video, how to integrate PacketStream with Java, and you embed that video right at the top of the documentation.
That's really interesting. So it's defensive content in a way. You're answering the question before they even have to ask it.
And that reduces support tickets. The source material explicitly says that adding explainer videos leads to fewer support tickets and more qualified leads. If you can cut your ticket volume by even 20%.
That pays for the API subscription 1,000 times over. There's another angle on video I want to touch on, which is the shorts strategy. The API have a video create shorts endpoint, vertical video, TikTok style.
This is where we shift from B2B, you know, business to business,
To B2C.
right? Business to consumer. Remember the packeters, the people sharing their bandwidth.
Of course.
PacketStream needs volume there. They need thousands and thousands of regular people to install their app. That is a consumer marketing problem. And where do consumers live?
TikTok, Reels, YouTube Shorts.
Yep.
So PacketStream runs a faceless TikTok channel, make money with your laptop, something like that.
And why not? The barrier has always been production. Editing a dynamic, subtitled, vertical video takes time and skill. But with the API, they can take a little snippet from a blog post about passive income and generate 50 variations of a short video.
50.
Different hooks, different avatars, different scripts, and you just flood the feed.
You're doing creative testing at scale.
Exactly. You throw 50 videos into the algorithm, 49 of them fail, but one goes viral and gets 100,000 views. Suddenly, you have 5,000 new packeters signing up. The cost of those 49 failures was basically nothing because you didn't spend human hours making them.
That brings up the economics of all this. We keep saying negligible or basically nothing, but enterprise software isn't usually cheap.
Well, we have to look at the marginal cost of production. Traditionally, a single video might cost, what, $500 to $3,000 to produce professionally?
At least.
With AutoContent API, we are talking about credit usage that equates to cents, not dollars.
So the entire risk profile just changes.
Completely. If a video costs $3,000, you have to be absolutely sure it's going to work. You have meetings about it. You write a script. You get approvals. If a video costs 40 cents, you just make it.
If it flops, who cares?
Who cares? You just make another one. This allows PacketStream to target the long tail.
The long tail.
Yeah, search terms that are way too small to normally care about. How to scrape sneaker prices in Japan. Maybe only 50 people a month search for that. You would never hire a video team for those 50 people.
No way.
But with automation, you can generate a specific video for that tiny little niche. You win that niche, then you do it again for 1,000 other niches.
You're basically carpet bombing the search results.
I'd prefer to call it precision coverage. But yes, you are answering every possible question because it no longer costs you anything to do so.
Let's talk about the global aspect, because there is a specific feature in the AutoContent API translation that seems to solve a huge operational headache for PacketStream.
This is maybe the most strategic fit of all. PacketStream needs a global network. If I'm a customer in the US, I might need to check ad verification in Brazil or Vietnam or Germany.
Which means they need packeters in those countries.
They have to have them. But right now, their site is primarily in English.
Which is a massive barrier. I mean, imagine you live in Sao Paulo. You find a website in English asking you to install software that routes traffic through your internet connection. Are you going to trust that?
Probably not. It sounds sketchy if I can't read all the details.
Exactly. Trust is language dependent. The AutoContent API supports over 50 languages. PacketStream can take their Packeter program landing page and generate native-level audio and video explainers in Portuguese, Spanish, Hindi, Russian, Mandarin. And we are not just talking about subtitles here.
No, the API generates the actual audio track, so the user hears the explanation in their native tongue. Here is how privacy works. Here is how we pay you.
That's not really marketing anymore. That's operational expansion. You are effectively opening a branch office in Brazil without hiring a single person there.
You are multiplying your total addressable market, your TAM, instantly. You are removing the friction of language. For a peer-to-peer network, supply is everything. If this API helps them secure the supply of IPs in these hard-to-reach markets,
that's a competitive advantage that anyone who stays in English just can't match.
Not even close.
I want to pivot to this concept of newsjacking. The source material mentions using the API for social listening and deep research. Given the industry PacketStream is in, web scraping, data collection, this feels very relevant.
It is, because that industry is incredibly volatile. It's the Wild West. You have lawsuits, you have GDPR updates, you have platforms like LinkedIn or Cloudflare changing their anti-bot measures overnight.
So how does the API help? A human can read the news too.
A human has to sleep, and a human has to process. The API connects to data feeds from ex-formerly Twitter and Reddit. It can monitor for keywords like web scraping crackdown or new AI training data laws.
Okay, so it spots a trend. Hey, LinkedIn is blocking data center IPs again.
Right. Then it triggers the deep research endpoint. And this part is key. It's not just summarizing the tweet. It browses the live web to understand the full context. Why is it happening? What are people saying? And then it can automatically generate a market alert.
Like a podcast segment or a video response.
Exactly. Within 20 minutes of that news breaking, PacketStream could have a video out titled LinkedIn's New Block: Why Residential Proxies Are the Only Solution.
That is incredibly fast.
It's the ODEI, loop observe, orient, decide, act. If you can move through that loop faster than your competitors, you win. While the competition is scheduling a meeting to discuss their content strategy for the new regulation, PacketStream has already published the solution and is ranking for all the keywords.
It positions them as the authority. They aren't just a utility provider. They become the news source.
And in B2B sales, especially technical sales, authority is what closes deals. You buy from the company that seems to understand the landscape better than you do.
We've talked a lot about the upside, but I want to circle back to the integration. PacketStream is a company of developers. They sell an API. AutoContent is an API. Is there a cultural fit there? Or is this just a tool for the marketing intern?
That is the cultural match that we shouldn't overlook. PacketStream calls itself API first. They get it. They don't want another dashboard where they have to click buttons. They want to integrate content generation directly into their backend code.
What would that look like in practice?
Yeah.
Beyond just marketing, I mean.
Think about account management. Right now, PacketStream probably sends a monthly invoice, maybe a PDF report of usage. You used 50 GB. It's so boring.
Very boring.
Okay, now imagine if they integrated the API to generate a personalized audio summary for their top 500 clients. The system analyzes their usage data and generates a 30-second clip. Hey, we noticed you scaled up traffic in Germany this month, but your success rate dropped slightly in France. We recommend switching to sticky sessions for that region.
That's incredibly sticky. No pun intended.
It's personalized consulting at scale. No human account manager could call 500 clients to say that. But the API can do it for pennies. It makes the client feel seen. It turns raw data into a relationship.
So putting it all together, we have the transformation of docs into audio, support deflection via video, global expansion via translation, and authority via newsjacking.
It's a complete ecosystem. It solves the production bottleneck. PacketStream has the ore, the raw technical expertise. Auto Content API is the refinery. It turns that ore into usable products, videos, podcasts, shorts, and ships them everywhere.
It really challenges the idea of what a team even looks like anymore. You don't necessarily need a 20-person marketing department. You need a couple of smart engineers and the right API.
The barrier to entry for being a media company has completely collapsed. The only limit now is your imagination, not your budget.
Before we wrap up, there is one final thought that keeps nagging at me, and it's a little bit meta.
Let's hear it.
PacketStream's business is allowing machines to read the web. They provide the infrastructure for scraping. Auto Content API is a machine that takes that information and writes new content with it.
I see where you were going with this.
We are essentially building a closed loop. PacketStream helps extract the data, Auto Content helps synthesize and publish it, and then presumably that new content gets scraped again by someone else to train the next AI model.
It's the automated feedback loop of the information age. The machine learns, the machine creates, the machine publishes, and the cycle just gets faster and faster.
And PacketStream is the gatekeeper, making sure the data keeps flowing.
And Auto Content is the engine, making sure the data keeps growing.
A fascinating, if slightly dizzying, future. That is it for this deep dive. We've unpacked the stack. Now it's up to you to see how it fits into your world.
Thanks for listening.
Catch you in the next one.